I'm George Stevens, and I'm a person. I was held as property as a child. Even before my birth, I was called a slave in an America you wouldn't recognize. But folks like you helped me escape north to freedom. And in 1864, I joined the infantry to fight for my country. I fought so all slaves would be recognized as persons, not property. And we won. But today in Colorado, there are still people called property. Children, just like I was. And that America you thought you wouldn't recognize is all around you. And these children are being killed. This November, vote yes on Amendment 62. Amendment 62 declares unborn children persons, not property. And that's the America I fought for. So visit personhoodcolorado.com. And in November, vote yes on 62. It's the right thing to do.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. What a great weekend. Saturday night, I had the honor of not only enjoying the races with a couple of my sons and family friends up at the Colorado National Speedway, the only NASCAR-approved racetrack in Colorado and the most successful regional track in this whole part of the country. But then also got to enjoy riding along in the pace car. And I tell you, that was fun. And I always figured the pace car, it's, you know, it's a piece of cake. And when the pace car driver, John, when he pulled off the track to let the cars behind us start the race, man, he pulls off that track in a hurry. And it was just a fascinating night. The figure eight race for me was about more than I could take. But everyone else in our group just loved it. And so what a great time at the Colorado National Speedway. What a great time. So thank you to all the guys out there. We really had a blast. All right. Now, our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. We got a phone call from the Empire State Building in New York City, one of my favorite buildings. Josh Craddock. Josh, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Josh, you attend college out in the Empire State Building, right?
Yes, sir. I'm studying at the King's College, a Christian conservative college in the Empire State Building. I believe you mentioned, actually, our new president, Dinesh D'Souza.
That's right.
He has been all over on the front page of Forbes.
Yeah, Josh, he has been all over the news since you started at King's College a few weeks ago. Your president there, he has been all over the news. Barack Obama, the Democrats are piping mad at him. He also debated a leading atheist, if there is such a thing as a leading atheist, at Socrates in the City a couple weeks ago. So, wow, you guys are shaking things up.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I just wanted to call in and share with you, our school has something called the Distinguished Visitor Series. And so we get well-known Christian economists and political thinkers, as well as some liberal and non-Christian perspectives as well.
All right.
And now, 2 years ago, you interviewed one of our Distinguished Visitor Series speakers.
I did. Well, who was
this? Her name is Lisa Miller.
Lisa Miller from Newsweek.
Do you recall? Yeah, she's the religion editor for Newsweek magazine.
She did a cover story that claimed that the Bible would be okay with homosexual marriage.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, she said that homosexual marriage and the Bible were compatible.
Yeah, and I just can't imagine a more disingenuous topic, and to put it on the cover of Newsweek. But anyway, yeah, I remember that debate too. It was a trip.
Yeah, well, I remembered that debate. So when I heard that she was coming to speak, I listened to that show again from the archive on KGov.
All right, and, being prepared. And, Being prepared.
I got prepared.
Like any good Boy Scout, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, Josh Craddock, all my kids are in Scouts, all our young boys. You were in Scouts, weren't you?
Yes, sir. I was an Eagle Scout with Troop 999.
You're an Eagle Scout. Congratulations for that, by the way. What an extraordinary accomplishment. So you know to be prepared, so you listened to the debate.
I did. I listened to your interview, and I reviewed her article and found some points of weakness, and I prepared some questions. So when she came to our school to speak, she started off speaking mostly about her writing career, and then moved on to some more issues regarding politics and religion and what her views on those sorts of things were. And at the end, the students have a chance to question the speakers. Mm. And so a lot of the students got to ask questions, and so I raised my hand, and the microphone came to me. So I asked, I said, Lisa Miller, why did you choose to quote false information from the Anchor Bible Dictionary to make the point that the Bible never addresses lesbian behavior, even though you knew that wasn't true from your careful analysis of Romans 1, which specifically prohibits both male and female homosexuality?
Whoa, Josh Craddock. Okay, so, well, wow, you hit her right between the eyes, because to remind the audience, Lisa Miller did this extraordinarily disingenuous article claiming that the Bible, the teachings of the Bible, would not be opposed to homosexual marriage, which is shocking in its arrogance, but most people don't know the Bible. So if Newsweek on the cover and a cover story says, hey, the Bible's okay with homosexual marriage, well, millions of people will absorb that from the culture and they'll assume it's true. So as you read the article, Lisa Miller wants also people to think that the Bible is really easy to discredit. So she says that while the Bible speaks against homosexuality, she wants to give the writers of the Bible an accusation that they were just sexist and bigoted. So
that's right.
So she says the Bible speaks against male homosexuality, but it doesn't speak against lesbianism. And so you might think, well, the guys who wrote the Bible, they were perverts, and they sort of liked lesbians, but they just didn't like homosexuals.
And the thing is, Bob, that was very disingenuous, because in the article, she studied Romans chapter 1, which specifically did deal with those subjects. But instead of presenting that in her article, she chose to quote the Anchor Bible Dictionary to the incorrect information contained in that dictionary to make this point, and try it really did reveal her political bias.
So the Anchor Bible Dictionary said incorrectly that the Bible doesn't address lesbianism. Now, obviously, the Anchor Bible Dictionary has thousands of entries. People write articles on all these topics, and it was an oversight. The Anchor Bible Dictionary didn't have an axe to grind. It was just an oversight.
But Newsweek and Lisa Miller's editors should have been able to catch, in their research for that article, should have been able to catch a mistake like that. They shouldn't have overlooked that error. They should have been able to correct it in the article.
Seems like they introduced the error intentionally, because she sure did. She studied Romans chapter 1, and it says, men with men burning in their lust, men who leave the natural use of the women, and women who do likewise. It describes in as much detail as we need that homosexual behavior, both male and female, is a perversion, is destructive, is sinful.
And Bob, when I asked that question, her eyes narrowed, and she just shot back. She was like, well, isn't the Anchor Bible Dictionary a good source? And so I said, well, my question is just, why did you choose to quote incorrect information from a secondary source like the Anchor Bible Dictionary instead of quoting the accurate information from the primary source, which would be Romans 1?
Whoa, Josh Craddock, the brightest audience in the country. Hey, that is just so encouraging, Josh, that you were able to hold her feet to the fire.
Well, and she didn't like that either, so she basically snarled back, well, the Anchor Bible Dictionary is a good source.
Well, not when it's blatantly wrong.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, the liberals were upset with Colin Powell and George W. Bush back when there were thoughts that Saddam Hussein, he was trying to build nuclear weapons. There were accusations to that effect. And so the Bush administration at the UN, through Colin Powell, they quoted British intelligence to the effect that Saddam was trying to reconstitute some kind of nuclear program when we knew it was false. Our CIA knew it was false, but the Brits had it in their current reports. So Colin Powell quoted what, to our knowledge, was a secondary source, and it was incorrect. And
we
knew it was incorrect. And so the liberals were up in arms, understandably, because you're telling the world something you know is incorrect from a secondary source.
That's right. And that's exactly what happened here.
Yeah. So how did it go then? What did your fellow students think?
Well, at first I was worried maybe some of the students might not have understood some of the context, because it's hard to, you know, wrap up so much of that into, you know, one question, because you get one shot.
Right.
And so it's hard to, you know, encapsulate all of that into one question. But I did have a lot of people come up to me afterwards, and they commented, they said, you know, she didn't want to answer your question. She did not want to answer the question.
Right.
And that's why she focused on, well, it's a good source.
Right.
And so I said, you know, and she's been asked that question before. In fact, you should check out this interview on KGov.com. And I posted the link and directed them to that.
So. All right, Josh, thanks. And, you know, the show summary there, the interview is fun and interesting. And the show summary is just so helpful, because if you don't have time to listen to the debate, it's right there, all the highlights summarized with some strong answers when we find ourselves debating people who are promoting all kinds of sexual immorality, including homosexuality.
Absolutely. Bob, I have one more report from the Empire State Building.
All
right. This one comes from today.
Okay.
Today's visitor for the Distinguished Visitor Series was a man by the name of Mr. Ned Ryan. He's the president of the American Majority, and he was actually a co-founder of HSLDA's Generation Joshua.
Wow.
That brings in conservative Christian youth.
HLSDA, Homeschool Legal Defense.
Yeah, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Right. They have a group called Generation Joshua that he was the co-founder of, and it brings Christian students into political races to help pro-life, pro-family, pro-Christian candidates. Mm. And so he was speaking today, and really neat guy from what I can tell from the interview. But he mentioned that, you know, one of the guys that he was really excited about as a grassroots pro-life candidate was Ken Buck. And so, of course, you know, we were all devastated within the last week or so when we read Ken Buck's interview in the Denver Post saying that he wouldn't necessarily nominate pro-life justices. He wouldn't have a litmus test.
He said that he wouldn't necessarily vote only for pro-life judges. In fact, when he had put on a survey that he would protect children when he confirmed judges,
right.
He was playing a game of, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. And he said, well, I answered about pro-abortion judges, but I would confirm pro-choice judges. I don't have a litmus test. So
right.
He misled us. He said he would introduce a ban on abortion. Now he said he would not. And also, he said he endorsed the Personhood Amendment 62. Now he says he does not. And he's broken every pro-life promise he's made, and we're not even at Election Day yet.
Yeah, so I actually asked that question to Mr. Ryan. I said, you know, he was bringing up the concept of holding candidates accountable after primary season, after they're elected.
Whoa.
And so I said, you know, I'm from Colorado, you know, where Ken Buck is running, and this week I was disappointed with that news of his retreat from his pro-life position. And so, you know, how can we hold candidates like Ken Buck accountable after the primary?
Whoa.
And so he was a little bit taken aback by the news of Ken Buck's retreat from the pro-life position.
Oh, because really only Democratic candidates don't keep their promises.
Well, I think he just hadn't seen the interview yet. And,
yeah,
you know, before
I'm being a little bit jaded, I guess, Josh.
I guess a little bit.
But, yeah, go ahead.
You know, of course, he was very disappointed with that as well. And he was saying that, you know, basically we need to hold him accountable for that. You know, whether that's online, meeting with him, being publicly outspoken about the issue,
wow,
basically hold him accountable to the positions that he had. Don't let Ken Buck compromise on thou shalt not murder just because he gets a little confrontation from the Planned Parenthood Bennett lobby.
Yeah, right. He has funds being raised by the abortion industry to oppose him, and he's got a girly man that is his opponent, Michael Bennett, who brags about killing kids, and Ken Buck is caving under that. You call that pressure? And Michael Bennett is saying Ken Buck is an extremist because he's against abortion. And Ken Buck should have come back and said, hey, Michael Bennett supports what Planned Parenthood does to children in the womb. They kill those children. Michael Bennett is extreme. It's cruel, and we need to make Colorado safe for children. That's what Ken Buck should have said, but instead he caves, and he's going to confirm pro-choice judges. It's just shocking, Josh.
If Ken Buck had wisdom, he'd be thanking the pro-lifers that are exposing him now, that are holding him accountable, before it's too late for him.
Wow. So, hey, Josh Craddock, thanks. So that was Ned Ryan, huh?
That was Ned Ryan. Seems like a great guy. And so I got to bring up that about Ken Buck and kind of share with him some of that. And we got to talk about holding candidates accountable, making sure that they are 100% pro-life.
All right. And then last thing, Josh, the president of the college you attend, the King's College, Dinesh D'Souza, had a debate at Socrates in the City, an event that's been run for years. And one of the friends of the personhood movement is the organizer of that, Eric Metaxas.
That's right, Eric Metaxas.
Eric wrote the book on William Wilberforce, Amazing Grace, that came out with the movie a couple years ago. And he just wrote the biography on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's an advocate, a voice for the personhood of the unborn child. So Eric Metaxas invited the president of your college to debate, right, about a week ago?
That's right. That was actually just a couple of weeks ago. It was a debate, is God the author of morality? And it was a debate between Dinesh D'Souza, president of the King's College, and Peter Singer, Professor Peter Singer, who is, you know, well known for his views on infanticide and animal rights. And he is a professor of bioethics at Princeton.
Yeah, right.
And so he's very well known for his extremist views on those sorts of issues. And so Dinesh D'Souza did a fantastic job exposing the inconsistencies in his view, especially about the problem of pain. But one of the things that Peter Singer brought up that I was kind of laughing to myself about this, he brought up Urethra's Dilemma, which is something that you have talked about on your show and through your ministry,
right?
What a Christian response to Urethra's Dilemma is.
Right, exactly. Socrates put out an argument against the idea of morality coming from God, and it's called Urethra's Dilemma, and we have an article on that topic, and in fact, the world-renowned Creation magazine, creation.com, they have an article on Urethra's Dilemma, and they link to our article, which is a great honor. But Josh, Christians could answer Urethra's Dilemma, Muslims can't.
That's right.
People who think that God is not a plurality cannot answer Urethra's Dilemma, but the triune God does.
Absolutely. The Trinity answers Urethra's Dilemma because the Son has been eternally good to the Father. The Father has been eternally good to the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And so they can know, God can know that he is good.
God can know
the plurality within the Godhead.
Within the Godhead, because as the Bible says throughout, two or three witnesses, you need two or three witnesses to establish the truth of a matter. You can't take one person's word for it. And when Jesus was talking about his own credibility, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, said, if I testify concerning myself, my testimony is not credible. But he said, but there are other witnesses. And he said, there's the Father, there are the scriptures, there are the miracles I've done. And so, yeah, that is the answer. And it's online. It's on our website, KGov, KGOV.com, a Christian answer to Socrates' argument against theism.
So I'm looking forward to sharing some of those insights, hopefully once I get a chance to sit down with President D'Souza and show him that article. And obviously congratulate him on how well he did in that debate.
Wow, yeah, absolutely. Josh Craddock, it's an honor to have been in a church for the last 10 years where you and your family attended. What a fabulous homeschool family. You've got quite a few brothers and sisters growing up behind you, and you've been a great example to them and to our whole church. And now, Josh, now you are an emissary of personhood in New York City and at the King's College, and we couldn't be more proud and more excited of what God can do through you and through your life.
Well, thank you so much, Bob, and thank you for everything you and the ministry have done and influenced with me.
Well, you're very welcome, Josh. Look forward to hearing you. We need another report soon from the Big Apple, all right?
Absolutely. You'll be hearing more from me in the future.
All right. God bless you, Josh Craddock.
Have a great day.
Appreciate that. Report from a man on the street. No, a man up in the Empire State Building. That's where their college campus is. And Saturday night is Colorado Right to Life's banquet. Saturday night. And the board at Colorado Right to Life with Leslie Hanks, they lowered the price. It used to be $100 a plate. But the economy is rough. People are struggling. Colorado Right to Life is struggling. And so they lowered it to $75. $75 registration. And my family and I, we just paid for our table, and we're thrilled to get that money to Colorado Right to Life. And there are eight people at a table, eight people. So, and I've got one extra ticket, one ticket. And so, what do I do with this extra ticket? I got to figure out that, all right? But, hey, if you can, call Colorado Right to Life or go to their website, coloradortl.org, and just register online or call them, 303-753-9394, 753-9394. In our telethon, we've got 65 people, and that's $20 a month. God bless you.
All of Bob Menyard's sermons at Denver Bible Church are now available in video at the KGov store. Get these eye-opening sermons in DVD or download them in Windows Media Video or MP4 video for your iPod, iPhone, or any other portable player. Also, subscribe to the monthly sermon DVDs, monthly MP3 CDs, or download each sermon as an MP3 for your portable player. Other new video products include the brand new 2 Timothy Bible Study 3 DVD set, which is also available on MP3, CD, or MP3 download. The Apostle Paul encourages Timothy to keep the faith. Bob's new series, Christianity 101, is now available in a 4 DVD set or on MP3 CD. Bob teaches on the topics of the Bible itself, God, created beings, Old Testament, New Testament, the overall plot, end times, and hell. And Bob concludes the study by telling us about eternal life and heaven. Bob's three-part series on forgiveness is available on DVD or on MP3 CD. Bob teaches the biblical model for forgiveness. Should we always forgive? The answer to that question may surprise you. Bob's seminar, Does God Exist?, is now available as a 2-DVD set. Bob gives the evidence that God does exist and the evidence that tells us about God's character. In the Plot Boys 3 MP3 CD set, Bob teaches through his book, The Plot, with young Josh and Stephen. The Plot Boys is a great resource to help the entire family better comprehend the overview of the Bible, which leads to better understanding of the details. In Bob's study of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, we learn about Paul's message of the rapture of the body of Christ and how to keep the faith while we're still on earth. 1 and 2 Thessalonians is available on MP3 CD or MP3 download. In the book of Job, we learn about the story and the testing of God's servant Job, the response of Job's friends, the response of Job himself, and what happens when God comes onto the scene. The Job Bible Study is available on MP3 CD or MP3 download. Hermeneutics, Tools for Bible Study, is an excellent resource to help you study the Bible with greater understanding. Hermeneutics, Tools for Bible Study, is available on MP3 CD or MP3 download. The weekend following the 9/11 attack, Bob presented the End Time Seminar. In this seminar, Bob answers questions like whether the 9/11 attack is predicted in Bible prophecy or not, and he also teaches about the end times for the body of Christ. The End Time Seminar is available on MP3 CD or MP3 download. If you like Real Science Friday, you'll love the new Real Science Friday MP3 CDs. Get an MP3 CD of every Real Science Friday show from 2007, 2008, or 2009. Each year's shows are available on MP3 CD or MP3 downloads. These great resources and many more are available at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com. Or call 1-800-8-NYART. The resources at the KGov Store will help you to increase your understanding of the Bible and help give you the tools to more effectively share the gospel with others. Your purchase of these Bible resources will help support the ministry of Bob Inyart Live. Please consider a purchase, a monthly subscription, or a donation to support Bob Inyart Live.